webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Kline online.
Thank you, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Kline online. It's hump day, Wednesday, October 5th, 2011, the only first Wednesday of October 2011 in the history of the world. Welcome in on this Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. Glad to have you along for the ride. Coming to you live from the Bay of the Holy Spirit studio. And also sounding alive from Houston, Texas, clearing his throat. We'll get right to him this evening. Let's welcome online the president and founder of said Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
Hey, Glenn.
How are you?
You know what? I am well. In fact, I think I'm bordering on wonderful.
That is a beautiful thing. I, ladies and gentlemen, have had one of the longest weeks that I've had in a long time. A week ago, we came to you and had our last pledge drive for the start of fall pledge drive. We'll be reporting on that later on in the program. But you kind of went through a series of emotions with me. If you followed this webcast at all for the last several years, you're going to know that I am a huge sports fan and specifically a huge Tampa Bay Rays baseball fan, and they needed to win that game a week ago to have a chance at making the playoffs. And when we went on the air, the Rays were down 7-0, and then when Greg Ambergy called late on in the webcast, the Rays had gone to 7-3, and literally, as we were going offline, the Rays, on a miraculous, and I use that term advisedly, an incredible home run by their 25th player on the team, tied the game at 7. And I got so excited that not only did I start speaking in tongues, but I broke my microphone. So I'm holding my microphone, and you may hear a little bit more sound from the microphone tonight, folks, so you'll know what happened. The Rays end up going to the playoffs, excuse me, and then this last week just folded like a bad lawn chair and lost. And so they're out. I went from extreme ecstasy last week, beautiful humans, to the depths of sports depression yesterday as the Rays lost to the Texas Rangers. But glad to tell everybody that have just been rehearsing the gospel with my friend Tom, and I'm feeling quite nicely, Michael. The gospel is having its soul-cleansing, mind-renewing effect on your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host.
It is all that and the bag of chips. I was just contemplating all of this evening, and to be able to watch and experience what the gospel is doing in my own heart, and I am only watching that as I experience it, which is the best position to live life from, is that we've learned is to live it from the observer, to just watch and learn, watch and grow. It's a real good plan so far, but to have watched it in so many of my dearest friends' lives around the world, to have an impact that we did not teach it would have. We did not forecast or foretell that it would have. It just has done it.
It has done it. The Apostle Paul, though, gave us some clues what might happen if you meditate this reality of the peace, the cessation of hostilities, and the grace of God, the unmerited, unconditional acceptance and favor of God.
Yeah, it really is. And the thing that is amazing about it is that Paul taught on it. But that part of Paul's teaching, we didn't have to know for the gospel to have its effect. Because the gospel is the power of God. The results is not the power of God. the gospel itself is the power of God.
Right.
And the saving of the soul, it doesn't make any difference whether you know it should do it, would do it, might do it, or not. If you are involved in the gospel and the gospel is involved in you and your thinking, your conversations, in your thought life, and it begins to readjust the understanding of the adequacy of God in the things that pertain to the spiritual, to where that we can fully embrace the finished work of the cross and then be able to face life head on, good or bad, without becoming some mental or emotional nutcase because of what life has to offer.
Exactly.
It really is amazing.
It is amazing. And the gospel, as Michael has said on many occasions, redeems nobody.
Yeah.
It reveals the redemption that is already on the inside of every single human being. Salvation, folks, is an ongoing process. We can't get away from it. We literally lucked into it. And I know that our dear Christian brothers and sisters would hate that word luck, but there's no other explanation. We just literally limped into it. And it really started changing. Our understanding became more intuitive and tuned in.
Yeah.
6 years ago tonight.
Yeah, I think the term intuitive is very apropos for the gospel, because that is what we have found, is that what we have learned by looking and seeing and listening, we actually found that this was all intuitive knowledge that was stored up inside of us anyway. It was simply by the brain, the mind, accepting the truth of the gospel. It interfaces with the intuitive truth, the imputed truth of the gospel that is within. And, man, I tell you, there's nothing like a good connection.
No doubt. I can attest to that. And this is a very good connection. You're already connected. The meditation of this, the talking about it, the listening to the webcast, the singing of the songs, all the good stuff is the understanding and the revelation of that which is already inside, folks. It is an incredible thing. And what I was saying was that our clock started ticking on a faster pace 6 years ago tonight. It was 6 years ago tonight. I'm so glad that I realized it. The first webcast went online, and we had about 5 listeners probably. We know
Did we really have that many?
Maybe. We may have been in 2 countries, in the stalwarts to the north of the border, Canada. And maybe a few folks here in the U.S.
It may have been only Canadians, actually, to start out with.
Well, if I recall, I may have dreamt this, I'm not sure, but I think Richard Mull told me that he heard the very first webcast. Somebody did.
Yes.
In the U.S. Yes. And so anyway, folks, the point is, it is our anniversary. Happy anniversary to you. Michael, happy anniversary to you.
And happy anniversary to you, my dear friend, Glenn. My, what a 6 years it has been. I would have to say, regardless of what this effort has done in the hearts and lives of people around this planet, this effort would have been worth every moment of it for what it's done in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. It has been the saving of my soul. I'll just be very honest with you. You can't see, just because I have taught this gospel does not mean this gospel has an impact on my soul. I have to hear this gospel. I need this gospel going in, not just coming out. It literally is the power of God. Now, the understanding that I've taught from has been really with a great dose of reality, has almost been from that intuitive knowledge, because these things have come as I've studied. But as most of you know, that many times when I've been teaching, I didn't even know what I was saying. I've gone back and listened to this stuff, and I thought, that is just absolutely amazing. I've never heard that before, and it's me saying it. But but I still needed to hear this. Now, had we not gone online to do this, I don't know that I would have ever known that, Glenn.
No, this, by the way, what we share, folks, is all in the rearview mirror. When we were in Christianity, we just parroted what we heard. And, of course, didn't experience any of it at all, whether it be deliverance or answered prayer or healing or financial breakthroughs that were 10, 20, 30, and 100-fold or whatever. What's the equation? I always screw it up. I'm so bad at math. What is it? 10, 20?
30, 60, and 100.
30, 60, and 100. Yeah.
Yeah.
We never experienced, but see, this is all, we're sharing this, you guys, all in retrospect. We didn't know, we had some good news to share, but because we do the webcast every week, because we prepare for the webcast every week, because Michael and I talk to each other and to others about the gospel all week long, and it's only because this effort started 6 years ago tonight. Michael, you'd been sharing the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace for some 15 years or more.
Yes, I had.
But the expedited fashion and impact that the gospel has had on your soul over the last 6 years has got to be, speaking of 100-fold, 100 times what happened in the first 15 or 20 years.
Very exponential for sure as far as its impact on me. As a teacher of the gospel, I can tell you, I did not realize how desperately I needed the gospel. And I say that with all honesty. I had no clue. It almost feels, I think that if we didn't really know this for sure, I'd probably be apologizing to people for badgering you so much about listening and hearing and talking. We're not talking about buying CDs. Just talk to people on the phone, whatever. But engaging in the gospel is the saving of the soul. It really does. When you engage in the understanding, it is rehearsed and it is filtered in through the brain. The brain needs the gospel. The mind needs the gospel. Whatever the brain and the mind is capable of doing, I really think that its optimal performance is going to be seen out of the gospel, because that is the stabilizing force for those parts of the human being. And Christianity has taken the gospel and turned it on its head and made it something that's supposed to change your health, supposed to change your finances, change your relationships and all of these things, and that is not what the gospel is for.
They teach it's supposed to make you holy.
Yes, and even that.
No,
yes.
You guys, you are already, you're as holy as you could possibly be.
Yeah.
The meditation of this message of the gospel reveals that holiness.
Yes.
You understand that there is literally no space between you and Yeshua, between you and Jesus Christ? None.
Yeah.
Zero. Zilch. As far as God is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, Yeshua's behavior, if somebody behaved the way that he did, Michael, in Jerusalem before the cross, they'd be in an insane asylum. And we've seen them in the insane asylum.
Mm-hmm.
You go in and you bust up a church, just a local little storefront church. Forget about the Vatican. Forget about the Crystal Cathedral. Forget about the Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, Joel Osteen's big old arena.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're talking about a storefront. You're going to get arrested. You're going to be thrown in jail. You're not going to be considered holy. So either Yeshua's behavior was also not holy, or behavior doesn't make you holy. Maybe holiness is a state of being. And maybe the meditation of the gospel continually reveals that holiness and that distinction to what Michael said, your brain. That's where it is needed, Michael.
Yeah, and you know, as you're saying this, my goodness, of course, this is the wonderful thing. It happens all the time. And, you know, the reflection that I'm getting in my mind right now, in my heart, is the fact that all through God's anger, wrath, judgment, destruction, all of that, he was always holy. He was always righteous. None of those things made him unrighteous. And he has imparted that same righteousness to us, that regardless of our actions or deeds, we are as righteous and holy as he is, apart from deeds, even as he was righteous and holy, apart from his own deeds.
You know, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, died today.
Yes.
And a lot of Christians, when computers first came out, said that was of the devil. I actually, we actually had a visiting minister come to our church in Wisconsin and say that the word computer came out to the number somehow in numerology, 666. Now, I knew our pastor had a computer, and I knew that all of our database in that church was on computer, but they let him say it without any correction.
Yeah.
They thought that these guys, the Steve Jobs, the what the hell's his name? The rich guy, Bill Gates.
Gates.
That these guys were absolutely of the devil. What happened to Steve Jobs when he died today, Michael?
Well, that's the thing that I'm excited for Steve Jobs in, is that he came face to face with the one he was one with his entire life while he was here on this earth. The brilliance that came out of that man's mind was born out of the freedom that was in his heart, whether he ever understood it or not. That is where it came from. And I'm you know, the awesome thing is that his reality of the not only the creator but the recreator of heaven and earth and of mankind, he is in the full presence of. Don't ask me what form or how or if he's walking streets of gold or any of that stuff. I don't have a clue. But I know that he is, as he was here.
Right.
It's just he has shed the encumbrance of this life, and his full reality of his oneness with God has been come to fruition.
Whatever manifestation of eternal peace with God is after this body is shed. Steve Jobs is experiencing it today.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is, we have no clue what it is. We do know that life goes on forever. The water, the matter, the energy that is, I'm not even going to say was Steve Jobs, that is Steve Jobs, that goes on. The physical body does not. But even that, Michael, goes back into the earth.
Even that continues on. There is no part of him that of what happened today as a transformation began. And one part of him was transformed instantly, and that's the energy part of the life of him. That transformed instantly into the presence of God. The water, that'll all evaporate that made up his body. The very, matter that his body was made up of will go into some other form. There is nothing about his physical body that ceased to be today that will ever be destroyed. It's physiologically impossible. It is not possible. Man cannot create or destroy water. Man cannot create or destroy matter. Man cannot create or destroy energy. It can transform from one state to the other. And today, in this man's life, that transformation was complete. It is just so marvelous. It's so marvelous. Death is not what we have always thought it to be. Death is not a cessation of anything. It literally is just a transformation, as is the process of transformation that we're going through right now. It's just that one is instantaneous. And all that we can understand and know of the gospel here is going to benefit us so mightily and benefit the whole planet. And that is our need, that is our desire, is that this planet understand the gospel.
All right, that's why we do what we do. And there, Tom, is a scientific proof for eternal life right there. We were talking, Tom and I, earlier about the gospel and about how he's had a hard time with the fact that he does believe in a creator, he does believe in God, and yet he's a scientist. And yeah. I said, you're going to love the gospel in Michael. You're going to love the gospel revolution. The gospel is transforming, folks. It's it allows you to think rationally and logically and vitally during this very stressful thing called life.
Yeah.
And it's like it rewires the brain in the especially in the midst of crises. And the two guys that have been going through crises recently are both online with us right now. We want to go to our senior Southern California correspondent and our senior Indiana correspondent simultaneously. Thanks to thanks to Steve Jobs and other great men and women like them. Yes. Please welcome online from Garden City, California, Mr. Richard Mull. Richard!
Richard here, king of the can.
Still king of the can, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Please also welcome online from the great Hoosier State, Mr. Grant Miller. Grant!
Hello, I'm here.
All right, so you guys, I know, have been chatting together. Grant, of course, was with us last week, and you heard about his motorcycle accident that cost part of his right leg. Richard, you know, has been battling cancer for these last many months. And one thing that you've said, Michael, that I think is so profound is that you really don't know that you're healed about a certain situation until you can start joking about it.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that has been part and parcel with our discussions with Richard and Grant, is the humor. I mean, Richard just referred to himself as the king of the can. Because, well, you know, we'll just leave it up to your own imagination to figure that one out, folks.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing that when you are operating in a rational, vital, logical, mental disposition, the gospel is influencing your mind, that humor does come out of it.
Really does, and it just seems to accelerate. Usually humor doesn't come until a long time after a tragedy. Or even the process of a very difficult situation. And Grant is very much coming out of his situation, minus the lower part of his leg, of one leg. Richard does not know for sure what the outcome of his situation will be. He's fully prepared to live, and he is fully prepared to die, just to be very honest about it.
Well, actually, Richard does know what the end of his situation is, like we all know what the end of our situation is. We just don't know when it's going to happen, that's all.
The end of that one, yes, yeah. We all know. But as far as this particular situation, he doesn't know the end of this one. But, you know, and humor has been a part of it. I mean, my goodness, I had to resist when I was spoke with Grant after the first time, and I mean, it was just so amazing. And you know, my heart was so out to Richard and to Grant. Of course, I mean, we were just together here, all of us together, and even Richard was here via the computer again, and Grant was here with us, and we're just, it's just like one family. And you know, I'm having to resist telling Grant that, you know, when I get up to Indiana, I want to take him out to IHOP, you know. And I mean, that's been the amazing thing about all of this. See, we normally see the process go through, you know, the grieving process of loss. And I think that Greg corrected me on the webcast, which I was really grateful that he did, because I saw that it's not that we don't go through that process. It is accelerated to almost the speed of light, it seems, to where that one part and the other part are all going forward so fast that you come to that point to where that the end result is there. The emotional end result is there while the event is going on. And that is the ability to see the humor in it. And so this has been amazing to me. Both of you guys have amazed me beyond beyond anything. And not only do I love both of you, Richard and Grant, but you got a whole lot of people that love you and care about you, not only in your personal lives individually, but in the gospel revolution around the world.
You guys recently have been talking to each other, too. I would have liked to have those sessions recorded, fellas.
Yes.
Hey, Glenn, this is Richard. Yeah, I had talked to Michael this morning. I talked to Grant this afternoon, and then I talked to Jeff Robertson. And I got saved during every one of those calls. And I'm telling you, it's a multiple thing. It's like, you know, like multiple orgasms, except it's different. It's the gospel saving your soul. It's fantastic. I had something interesting happen today. I got a jury summons recently, and I was supposed to call in and I'm supposed to call in December 18th to see if they're going to, you know, use me. So checked with them. I called up the jury service folks and I said, you know, I'm going through some medical things now and I may not be available during that time. In fact, you know, where I'm sitting right now, who knows? I might be expired by then. And the lady says, well, you'll still have to call in. And I says, well, I'll be sure to do that then on the 18th of December. And I thought that was hilarious. Well, you'll still have to call in even if you die, you know. Okay, well, that's good. Thank you. Nice of you to share that with me, young lady.
Well, maybe the lady at the jury office didn't know what expired meant. That's always a possibility.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes people just take the calls and they write down the information and they send you a postcard saying, okay, you know, call in January instead. But, I'm having a good time here. I went to the urologist this week and saw him and he took a look at me and did some things that shouldn't be done to a human being with a long snake-like device and a camera, but got through that, and then he talked to me and recommended a couple of things, and I started taking a particular medication today to help me in that regard, and it seems to be working pretty well. I'm feeling pretty good today. In fact, I have a lot of release of pressure in the inside of me that I wasn't getting from all these other treatments I've been having.
Right.
So I'm doing much better. I'm going to be better tomorrow.
Awesome.
Grant, what have your conversations with Richard meant to you, and what's going through your mind right now?
Well, I suppose the thing that stood out to me the most was in closing, he wanted to leave me with a couple thoughts, and I think it was Romans 11:32 and then Galatians 3:22, I believe it is. Basically the same verse that he's concluded all under sin that he might have mercy on all. And that's probably what stuck out to me from Richard's comments the most. It just seems so overwhelmingly simple. And, okay, what's this have to do with humor? You know, the funny thing is, it seems like to me that resting in the, until we realize that all are redeemed, as long as we think there's something that depends on me, we cannot, our minds, our souls cannot be fully saved, because if it took something for me to get in, it takes something for me to stay in, and that causes fear.
Yeah.
And effort, performance. It relies on me. When I realized that all are redeemed, that all were placed under the curse, all were gathered into Christ's body, and by that same power, all are redeemed. All are righteous, all have his life, then I can fully be saved, and that sets me free to find, to laugh, to feel joy, to find humor in, you know, I used to be afraid almost to laugh and to find humor for fear that, oh, certain things weren't to be funny. They were dirty, or they were whatever. There was something, some reason that I was offending God or offending someone, and therefore indirectly offending God. It's still, fear doesn't really have logic. It just throws, jerks you around. And when I fully understood that I was saved just simply by, or I was redeemed by nothing but the power, the love, the mercy of God, nothing about me, I could just find humor. I could laugh at things that I sure wouldn't have used to. And laugh at losing my foot. There was times somebody said something about putting your best foot forward, and I said, "Yeah, that's no problem. I only got one." And I was laughing about that in the hospital. And
did Michael break out the IHOP to you before tonight, or was that the first time you heard that?
No, I think. No, somebody said something about IHOP before. I think I've heard that. And it sounds like he was thinking it, but wasn't sure he should say something about it. Oh, yeah, I that's funny.
Yeah, he's been thinking it for weeks.
Uh-huh.
You know, fellas, the saving power of this gospel, we were talking about this, the fact that it's our anniversary, and you started breaking out "It's Only Just Begun" by the Carpenters.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd like to share a rendition with us.
"We've only just begun to
everybody
white lace and promises.
A kiss for luck,
and we're on our way. We've only just begun.
We've only just begun in so many ways, but we've only just begun having an understanding of how impactful the power of God just might be on our souls.
Yeah.
Glenn, this is Richard. Michael, Grant, Sean, everybody listening, I'm going to have to take my rightful place on my throne.
All right, wait, before you go, did you listen to the very first webcast 6 years ago?
I have to admit that I'm guilty as charged.
All right. That's what I thought. That was good.
He was probably our one American listener.
Well, I might not have been an American.
I know you got to go, Richard. We love you.
All right. I'm going to head to the throne. And gentlemen and ladies and everyone listening, gospel revolutionaries everywhere, you're terrific. Just keep on keeping on. Be yourself. And just let the gospel do the rest. Love you all.
Love you, Richard.
Bye-bye. Richard.
There goes Richard Ball.
See you, Richard.
The king of the can on the throne. You know that he is the king of comedy with his Gospel Revolution title, but he changed his title, as is your right, folks. You want to have a title, you want to change a title, just let us know at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. We post those on the homepage. What's your title?
I don't know. I don't have one.
Well,
oh, my gosh.
You're good at that. You'd have to come up with something.
All right, well, nothing, I thought of Captain Hook, but that really doesn't make any sense. I'll think of something. Or maybe somebody else, somebody else will come up with a great Gospel Revolution title for Grant Miller, author, and we know what you look like as a dog because Billy Thompson portrayed everybody at the first Gospel Revolution Summit as canines. What kind of dog were you?
Oh, I forget. What was it? A boxer, I think, maybe.
I believe
it was a boxer.
You might have been a boxer. You had a book on your lap. I remember that. And, Michael, you were a poodle floating in a boat.
A teacup poodle.
Oh, you were a teacup.
No, that was a teacup.
You were floating in a teacup.
She told me she was going to make me a Great Dane. And I said, "I don't want to be a Great Dane." She said, "Well, what do you want to be?" I said, "I want to be a teacup poodle."
That's not right. That's just not right. Billy cartooned me as a bulldog. A bulldog in front of a microphone with Carla as a Cocker Spaniel rubbing my shoulders behind me. Microphone in front. tea and honey, cup of tea and honey.
So detailed. It was amazing.
It was really something. All right, Grant.
Hey, Glenn. I want something I want to say.
Please do.
Go ahead.
Mike and Glenn. You know this motorcycle that got wrecked? It was crimson red. And the other one I had burnt in our barn. When our barn burnt, I lost my first motorcycle. And I went out and bought another one the same color. And a red motorcycle, that not just red, not just any red, but that blood red, crimson metallic red. I grew up in a church. We couldn't have motorcycles. And so having been out 15 years and getting that motorcycle, going through the air, the wind in my hair, the leaning into the curves, the freedom, that whole thing just speaks of freedom, freedom from that church, freedom from religion, freedom from fear. The crimson red that to me just speaks deeply into my heart of the blood of Calvary. And I don't mean this in some
weird spiritual way.
Yes.
You're not saying that God had you get a crimson red motorcycle.
No.
This is how you meditate the gospel, folks. Right here, right now. This is how you meditate. You can take anything and make it a gospel thing. That's a beautiful thing.
It's just what it spoke to my heart, and it means something to me kind of deep down inside, and that's all, I guess. It just, that shed blood that reversed the whole Adam curse and redeemed all mankind, that was greater. I mean, Christianity says that what took place in the Garden of Eden was greater and more powerful. It affected more people without their choice. It was greater and more powerful than that which took place in the Garden of Gethsemane and on a cross, because that only affected those who sign up for it and get it right, get it figured out. And then I know that's not true. There is no way that's true. But the power of the shed blood was far more sufficient.
Yes.
To reverse and to undo everything that took place in the Garden of Eden. And I stand in awe, and there's nothing left to say, but my God, thank you. That's all. It overwhelms me, and the more I learn, and I keep thinking, how can it get any better than everything and everyone redeemed? And yet you just keep learning how this ties in and that ties in and this comes together to manifest the same story, and it blows my mind. How did Solomon building the temple, and that there wasn't to be a sound of the hammer heard on the building site, how did that manifest Calvary? You know, you just keep pulling things here and there together to where we're just overwhelmed.
My.
How I know it's going to get better, Grant?
Yeah.
Because we've only just begun to live.
You're on your own.
so much more.
Not the first time. Grant, we love you. Thank you for calling. You know, I have to say this, just being, I'm not just an observer of my own life, I'm an observer of life in general. You sound a lot stronger and more energized since when you came out about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How do you feel?
I feel good. And, you know, I was a little tired, but we get started talking about this, and I get started listening, and I can't help it. You get excited. Just the way it is.
That's
right.
As Walter Cronkite used to say, and that's the way it is for Wednesday, October 5th. 2011. He never said the only October 5th, 2011. Grant, we love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Love you guys too. Thanks to both of you.
There goes
Michael and Glenn.
All right, Grant. Good night.
Yep. See ya.
Grant Miller. You got to come up with a title for him. I love the fact what the different accents that we hear on the webcast. It just shows the diversity of the revolutionaries worldwide now. And just the fact that Grant would pronounce motorcycle, motorcycle. It's a motorcycle where I'm from. But we love it, and we love him, and Richard Mull probably listening from the throne as we speak. And thanks to those guys for calling. Now those lines are open for you at 1-800-436-3260. 800-436-3260 is a toll-free number in Canada. We'd like to hear some Canadian accents tonight. If you're listening live, it is a little after 9:30, about 9:40 now on the east coast of the USA. That means you're listening live on Wednesday. We want to hear from you. 800-436-3260. If you happen to be listening outside the U.S. or Canada, you can call us directly at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. And we will take those calls and talk more about this good news when we return right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, male and female, and call them Adam." And it was good. In the fall, the image of God was corrupted, but not forever.
When God created man in his own image, and we're not talking about somebody else creating an image, we're talking about God himself creating man in his own image. And then the fall of man, God knew he would have to destroy his own image. Let me tell you something I know now about the new creation. That your heart is designed by God to suffer, endure, and recover from all loss, no matter how horrific the loss is.
The Image of God. This 6-CD series is available for $48 plus shipping and handling, or download it now for $24 by clicking the download link at gospelrevolution.com. The Image of God. Get your copy today.
All right, so we have a, and thank you, Robert, for that. We appreciate you. And but we have a title for Grant. Apparently, coming off the can, the King of the Can recommends for Grant Miller, Long John Miller. After the one-legged pirate Long John Silver in Treasure Island, he goes, "No offense intended." We know that, Richard. I like that. So, all right. So Jeff is listening, I'm sure. So Grant Miller is Long John Miller. How about Long Grant Miller? I like that better. We're editing as we go on. Long Grant Miller. That's good. And there is a treasure deep inside of Grant Miller, the treasure island, the treasure of the gospel of grace, the gospel of peace. Arr is exactly right. Well, we were referencing Billy Thompson earlier from Wachuca City, Arizona, who did the beautiful and you talk about humor-filled caricatures of us all as puppet dogs at the Gospel Revolution Summit number one that was in Houston, Texas, that Grant was at prior to this accident. And we had such a good time, and it was so fantastic and so profound in so many ways. We're doing it again. The Gospel Revolution Summit 2 is November 4th and 5th, this time here in beautiful Tampa, Florida, at the Days Inn Tampa Bay Airport facility, about 10 minutes from the airport. And for all the information, you can go to the website at gospelrevolution.com. The more the merrier. We've got a bunch of people signed up already, and we just went public with it yesterday. Jeff has finalized all the arrangements. Only $49 a night for the rooms. The hotel is about 10 minutes from the airport, free shuttle to and from. And within literally short walking distance to a lot of really good places to eat and drink and to be together. That's the greatest thing, Michael, about the Gospel Revolution Summit is the sharing that happens during the formal meetings, but in between, incredible stuff. I mean, when you talked about it being a family, that truly was what we experienced. It was like a family reunion. These are people that we have never met before, some of them, and it was like we've known each other our entire lives.
No, it's very true. And, you know, one thing I want to do also is an extended invitation for those that are coming. You know, this is just, I would really love to do this. I'm going to be staying over after the summit, and my intent is to go to Busch Gardens and also to Disney World. I love roller coasters. It's been years since I've been on one. I know Glenn's not going to get on one with me, but Carla will.
Yeah, Carla likes the ride. I just can't I can't ride. I just
that's not
in my repertoire.
That's right. But I'm going to be staying over, and I just want to have a good time. And you talk about family time. I mean, any of you that wants to stay over, and you know, let's just plan some things to do. Like I said, I love Disney World, and I want to go back. It's not very far from Tampa, about 2 hours, I think. And then, of course, Busch Gardens is just right there in Tampa. So, and with some of the greatest roller coaster rides and one of the greatest parks in America, right?
Yeah, well,
there.
That's the African Safari. That's pretty cool to check out.
Yeah.
I don't mind going on the cable thingy. You know, that's go over the animals. That's I can deal with height. I just the speed thing. I'm not into.
And the little boats, you can get on those.
I'll get the little boats, little bumper boats. No, but seriously, we want to see. We've already, speaking of staying over, Howard and Amanda Wirtz, that was at the first Gospel Revolution convention in Houston many moons ago already. That was in 2008. It was 2008. Are planning on coming down from Manitoba. And
yeah.
Randy Bailey from Kelowna, British Columbia. And, of course, we hung out with Manda and with Howie in Houston.
Yeah.
But, Randy, we're looking forward to seeing. And from Florida, already signed up are Mike and Letitia Kolb, who we feel like we know them, but, you know, I've never met them. And we've been great friends on Facebook. They've both joined this webcast before, so we're excited about that. Michael's going to be there, of course, Jeff. Carla, myself, it's gonna be good stuff. We're gonna try to talk Sean to coming in, making a guest appearance, signing some autographs.
Oh yes.
And so we'll see what's up. So anyway, you can call Jeff at the office at the homepage number, or all the information is on the website, and you make your reservations through Jeff actually. So that's November 5th, Friday night. It's a meet and greet Saturday all day. Michael, you're going to be teaching as well, which I'm excited about. You're going to be actually, finally, after all these years, tackling the books and the teachings of James and John and Peter and a little bit of Jude.
Yes, we are, and I am very excited about it. Of course, each phase that we go through in this that kind of wraps up and helps to understand the gospel a little bit better, whether it is from an opposing view or a complementary view, whether it's out of the scriptures, whether it's in the New Testament, whether it's in the gospels or the letters or whatever, or from other religions, whatever, the gospel will stand up to the comparison of anything. It will stand up to the comparison of anything. It will even stand up to the comparison of the teachings of Peter, James, and John. And we're going to let those guys speak for themselves. We're not going to try to twist their words in any way. But we're going to let them speak for themselves, and we're going to take the gospel revealed by the scriptures that Paul understood to a great deal, and we're just going to let it be what it is, and we're going to examine it word for word. We go right through it. I'm not sure exactly if we'll have enough time to complete all of this, but that's the goal. I'll be teaching on Friday night, and be doing, I think, three sessions on Saturday, and we'll all be right there together. We'll all go out to eat together wherever we want to go, and we'll be able to stay there all during the day. It'll just be an all-day affair on Saturday. And time for questions, time for interaction and discussion. It'll really be an incredible time. So we want to encourage anybody who has the wherewithal and the desire to be there, please make an effort and come on down, and we will meet in the Bay of the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly right. The original name of where we will be meeting here in Tampa Bay is the Bay of the Holy Spirit. And see, I just mentioned their name, and here they are calling the webcast. Please welcome. I don't know if they're in Florida or Colorado, but please welcome online Letitia Kolb. Letitia!
Hello.
How are you, honey?
Doing all right. First time I've called in and talked to you guys.
Hi, Letitia.
How are you tonight?
Pardon me?
How are you tonight?
We're getting saved by the minute. Have you been listening?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're actually down here in Florida again. So, you know, bouncing back and forth, like you said, between Colorado and Florida.
Well, you got the best of both worlds going. That's nice.
Oh,
boy,
awesome.
You do.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to meeting everybody in Tampa. That will be a blast.
Yeah, well, all you got to
do
is call Jeff, and he'll hook you guys up. And just a number on the homepage. But I was so excited when I saw you guys were coming. That's going to be fantastic. And tell Mike that he has to leave his Socialist People's Party T-shirt back. No, he can wear it actually if he wants. can't wait to hug you guys.
You too. That'll be fun.
Do you got any questions or anything you want to say about what the webcast has been doing for you?
Oh, well, I understand that Mike's written a new book. I'm hearing about that from my husband, so I'd like to know a little more about that. And then I've got a couple other questions, but
Why don't you get to your questions, and then we definitely want to talk about the book. So.
Okay. Yeah. I know that you talked a bit about, you know, grief and dealing with that sort of thing. Our son had leukemia and survived it after 3 years of treatment. Of chemotherapy and all that sort of thing. And so I know exactly where, you know, Mr. Mole's been coming from. And our son weathered that with humor as well. It was really an interesting experience,
wow.
Quite a growth experience. And he's fine now. He's 29 and fully recovered and, you know, doing well. And he's actually also part of the Gospel Revolution. So he's Dennis Kolb. He's been the one on the website. So I was reading a book about grief recovery. It's called The Grief Recovery Handbook to kind of help me deal with almost losing my son and just other basic losses in life that all of us deal with. And I've really been encouraged by this book because it talks a lot about you know, the different stages of grief that are actually more applied towards people who are actually going through the process of dying and then they recover and that sort of thing. But just talking about grief and really letting it out, and no matter whether it's the loss of a job or an animal or a family member, that sort of thing is really important. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing and bringing that to light.
Well, Michael, one of the things that you've talked about so eloquently is the human heart in concert with the gospel has literally been prepared to endure loss and suffering.
Yeah,
and it's designed to recover. That's the, and I think that's the thing that I hope to get across to people, that whether you've never experienced any particular great tragedy or loss in your life, if you stay on this planet very long, you will most likely experience that. But you know, if you know you're equipped to handle it, number one, I think is the most powerful thing that we can communicate to someone. The grief process, I think that is correct. But as Greg Amberge pointed out to us in his experience, that it did not, the gospel did not circumvent that process, it accelerated it.
Yeah.
And that is a very powerful thing because, you know, people can get stuck in any one of those stages of grief. People
right.
can get stuck in anger and just stay there. And they're just angry the rest of their life. My goodness, I've been out on the road and I remember talking to an elderly gentleman who's almost 80 years old, and he got up and was angry because I called God a father. And he said, my father beat me. My father locked me in a room. My father did this. And he was filled with rage. And here this was, it had to be, you know, at least 70 years, 65 to 70 years had passed since all of this had happened. And he was still stuck in that stage of grief about what had happened to him. So the power of the gospel, it does not alter the heart. Number one, the heart is, I think the heart is expandable. I think the heart moves, but it moves in perfection. The heart has been made perfect through Christ 2,000 years ago. It was God took out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh, and it is a perfect heart, although it does expand or it can contract according to the nourishment that is given through the mind. And the mind and the brain, of course, have to work in conjunction with feelings and emotions and information, and that's what the whole thing is. So the gospel does not come in and alter these things because they are as they need to be. The heart is exactly the way it needs to be. The mind and the brain, they function the way they're supposed to function. But with wrong information, it really does, especially wrong spiritual information, it not only takes away the ability to recover, but it compounds the grief. Because not only do you have to suffer loss, you have to figure out what you did wrong to incur this loss. Why was God angry with you? What did you do to let the devil in? The list goes on and on. So with those things removed out of the way, number one, by the gospel removes out of the loss, the process of loss, it removes out of the way a guilty party. Unless there is someone who is guilty, who's done something, physically done something. And of course, there's the whole dynamics of the ability to forgive and the desire to forgive for your own sake. It goes on from there. But what the gospel does is maximizes the ability of the human soul to go through this process in an accelerated way and in a very dynamic way and come out on the other side healthier and stronger than before the loss was incurred. So not only are we designed to recover from loss, we're designed to be better off after we have recovered from the loss. And right. You have experienced that.
Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
yes.
In some ways.
Well, people say that, and it's a good thought, but as Michael said, that if you are taking in wrong information,
Yeah.
You know, even if somebody does physically or emotionally harm somebody, Christianity will teach you that it was the devil. And then, of course, the next leap of logic or illogic, if you will, is, well, how did the devil get in? What did I do? What didn't I do? I have a very precious person in my life who was beaten as a little baby, and they have, I mean, as a little kid. Little, tiny, and had repressed it, and then it came to light later on in adulthood. To this day, they wonder what the heck they could have done to deserve that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, this is how the
that's paralyzing.
That's paralyzing, and this is how the unrenewed, cleansed soul operates. We want to adopt guilt. But guilt has no place in the human soul anymore.
Amen.
Without the gospel, we have no choice but to take on guilt. It's not even a choice process. Without the gospel, the default is guilt and shame and judgment.
It festers into shame, exactly.
Absolutely.
I like how you said that, Michael. That is the default position.
Yes.
Oh my God, that is you guys.
And
go ahead.
To be authentic and bring that all to light and express that is the way to recovery. And to take time Time can heal all wounds, but it depends on what you do with that time. It's not just time
itself. Well put.
And that healing process that.
Very well put.
Looking to God and that authenticity of this is where I really am and this is who I really am is such a process that can bring, you know, such strength to one's character after a certain period of time. That brings the healing.
Letitia,
I'd say that's fantastic.
You just gave us the title that I'm having Sean write down right now. I want to make sure it's accurate. The title of this webcast, Time Does Heal All Wounds, comma.
And time also wounds all heals.
See, now you screwed me up. Time heals all wounds. It depends what you do with that time.
With the time,
right? Exactly.
That is awesome, and that's why we so highly recommend spending some time, dare I say, every day, meditating the reality that you have been freed from all guilt, from all judgment. Yeah. From all fear, that you are one in God, in humanity, with yourself. You're one with yourself. And Letitia, you mentioned Michael's book. It is in process. It is in the editing process. And it, coincidentally, and perhaps not ironically, Michael, you've entitled One.
Yeah.
It's the gospel according to Mike, a Christianity-free gospel. Michael, you've been reading some of the edited chapters, Michael. What's been happening to your soul?
Oh, my. I am not a reader. I was never taught to read in a way to where that it was enjoyable to me whenever I was in school. And of course, with panic attacks about doing anything in public, that, of course, compounded my dread about reading altogether, but I don't enjoy reading. I still don't. But now, if something catches my interest, I really do enjoy continuing to read something. And our last chapter, which I had written, and it's gone through the process of editing, and I just got it back to proofread again, and I couldn't put it down. You know, what was it? I don't remember how many pages. There was, 15 pages or something there?
Yeah, it was about 15 pages.
In this one chapter, and it is, every line is just, I'm sorry that I'm speaking about my own work here, and the work of others that have been put into this, but it's fantastic. I even went back and read it a second time a day later, so... It captured my attention, and once again, and my heart is to get this book out, and for it to be basically a transitioning point for the mind and heart of people in any type of religion. That it be a transitioning place for them, and that they'll find a great deal of hope and a great deal of solace in what they read, and that it will connect to their heart, which is perfect and righteous and holy in the eyes of God, where wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption live, and that their mind will connect with that on the outside, as is true already on the inside.
Oh, amen.
You and Mike get the e-newsletter, right, Letitia?
Oh, yeah. You bet.
All right, so within this week, for you guys that are recipients of the e-newsletter, within the context of this week's edition, is a small portion of the chapter that Michael was referencing. And it's entitled You Have a Future. And if you want the entire chapter, we will send that to you free.
Yes.
Just email the office at freedom@gospelrevolution, and we will be happy to send that to you. Just to save your soul, I sent it to Greg Ambergy, and he responded to me that he almost cried reading it. And here's this guy in Cincinnati, Ohio, that has the gospel as a regular meditation. And he just read it, but not only will it encourage you in the moment that you're in, folks, it will encourage you about being part of the gospel revolution and that this thing is actually happening. We're glad that it's taken this long. There's still stuff that we are adjusting on the things that we've been learning over the last few months.
Right?
Yeah, last week, yeah.
The last week. All right, well, listen, Letitia, you guys call us again between now and November. We can't see you. Wait to see you in Tampa. And
yeah, I signed up as your chief science officer, so I'm one of those science people.
Okay, well, all right, good.
Well, I'm so excited.
Well, we can't wait. We cannot wait to see you guys. Thanks so much for calling, and give Mike a squeeze for us tonight down there in Daytona.
Sure.
Love you guys.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
There goes Letitia Kolb. Mike and Letitia.
Oh, sweet.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Coming to the Gospel Revolution Summit number 2, where we're doing the Redux here in Tampa, November 4th and 5th. Sean, can we make an appearance? Sean? Have you not been listening to the show? He goes, when? November 4th and 5th. Pencil it in on your day timer. All right. We are up against the clock, but I would be remiss, speaking of the Gospel Revolution Summit, not to share with you the newest work from Jackie Barnard of Tennessee. That's where Jackie lives, doesn't he?
Yes.
He was down with us at the Gospel Revolution Summit in Houston, and we're still holding out hope that he can make it to Tampa. But this is the poet laureate of the Gospel Revolution, and he sends this work today, entitled The Stealthy Gospel Rides Again. The Gospel says the war is done. Guilt and judgment, there is none. The Father's covenant with the Son made God and the human family one. God and man enjoy the gain, the stealthy gospel rides again. Before the light had dawned in me, difference was all that I could see. If you don't pray the sinner's prayer, you're on your way to hell's despair. But now I know we're all the same, the stealthy gospel rides again. New wine and old wineskins cannot stay, new skins a must, or the old will burst. And old and a new will fall away. New wines, a fountain from within, the stealthy gospel rides again. How well I see in life's rear view, my criticism came undone, my mind began to open up, judging had a softer touch, I am so free, so calm, so sane, the stealthy gospel rides again. Jackie Barnard.
Hey, Jackie.
The poet laureate. The Stealthy Gospel Road again tonight on this here webcast. 6 years in the books. 6 years, yep. And one show. You talk about the stealthy gospel rides again. It's been a hell of a ride, my friend.
No doubt.
God, you guys, dude, you were, when this thing started, you were homeless.
Yes.
And then last August, just this past August, we had the first ever Gospel Revolution Summit in your home.
Yeah, I had just lost my whole family, too.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Yeah.
That sucked.
It's good to be healed. It's amazing.
Have you joked about that?
Yes, I have.
I think you've even joked about it with me.
I don't doubt that we have. And of course I look back on all of my family members with fond memories. It's really crazy. Even the perpetrator of the crime against my family. I remember on the witness stand, the attorney found out that I was in the ministry, and he was going to try to appeal to the ministerial Christian side of me to make an excuse for the actions of the perpetrator of this crime. And he asked me about forgiveness. He asked me if I was going to forgive him. And I said, I've already done that. And he said, you have? And he said, so then what he did, you forgave him. Why did you forgive him? I said, well, I didn't forgive him for his sake. I forgave him for my sake. And everybody in the courtroom, it was a closed, sequestered courtroom, but the attorney came to me later and told me, the DA came to me later, told me he was just blown away, and even the judge was blown away by the answer that I'd given. And I just told him, I said, you know, I forgive not for the sake of someone who is asking or needing my forgiveness, and even if they don't ask, I forgive for the sake of my own heart, because I've got the right to hold unforgiveness, and that was the thing that gave me the power to forgive. I knew I didn't have to.
Right.
I cannot tell you how powerful that is. I knew I could hold unforgiveness in my heart the rest of my life, but the issue, because I was free to not forgive, I had the power to forgive and the rational mind to know why I was going to do it.
Wow. It's just, you know, forgiveness that way, folks, is just like anger. You could be angry all you want.
Absolutely.
But let me ask you a question. How does your anger hurt the person that you're pissed off
at?
In the same way, how does your forgiveness help them? It might. Your anger might help somebody too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But being angry at somebody else hurts you. Forgiving somebody else helps you. Time does heal. It just depends what you do with that time.
Depends on what you do with the time. That's a great.
Oh my
I'm
God!
I'm gonna write that one.
Well, it's gonna be for perpetuity.
That's our title.
It's gonna be on the webcast archives.
Yay!
We want to also give you a quick report. We finished well short of our goal of $500 in new and monthly pledges. Yay! You're not supposed to say yay to that. Damn it! We finished at right around $190 towards our goal of $500 new and increased monthly pledges. We did get some really wonderful one-time pledges, but we're hurting financially just like some of you are. So anybody that wants to throw a bone our way, we're more than happy to thank you and to be grateful for that. You can always do that at gospelrevolution.com on the Please Donate button. And we're so happy that one of our last givers we heard from, because we love the guy so much, and that was from Lee Lau in beautiful Hong Kong. And Lee says, "Dear guys, greeting from Hong Kong. Busy moving house last week. Busy moving house last 1 week. I'm reading it as it's written, folks. Mind renewed and life energized by listening to and meditating on the good news broadcast by your webcast."
Oh my!
So Lee increased his monthly giving as well, which we cannot thank him and everybody that has participated.
Thank you so much
for the last 6 years. We 6 years ago we weren't doing pledge drives. And we did month after month of webcasts. We never mentioned any money. And guess how much money came in? None. Exactly. Not one. None. Fortunately, we learned that it's important to ask, because we will just let people know what the real need is. And to whatever degree you guys want to help, we're thankful for your help. And as we've said on many occasions, God won't bless you, but we will. And actually, I don't think we've ever said it that way. That kind of reminds me of the country song. Jesus may forgive you, but I won't. Jesus may love you, but I don't. Well, God's not going to bless you, but we'll bless you. And we'll thank you. So we're going to plug along. I mean, as we sang earlier, we've only just begun. And we're very excited about the future, about Mike's book coming out, about the Gospel Revolution Summit coming up in Tampa next month. And this was just so fantastic tonight. We want to thank Richard Mull and Grant Miller for calling, as well as Letitia Kolb, Sean O'Halloran for engineering, producing, and call screening. And I'm going to be getting a movie review on whatever movie he was watching during the webcast. So that was Sean is very good at dual tasking. That's what I want to say.
Yes.
And thank you, Mikey. Thank you for everything. And
thanks, Glenn. You know, it was a lot of years ago that I came to realize that God does not support anybody's ministry. People support people's ministry, right, wrong, or indifferent in what they're saying. God does not support ministry. People support. The only difference is by what means and with what integrity or lack of integrity you get people to support that ministry. And I really hope that over these 6 years and the time that we've appealed to you, that you see that we have done it with integrity, that we have not tried to use manipulative spiritual tricks to try to get you to be involved. But you know that you understand and know that God does not support anybody's ministry on this earth. People do. And we appreciate what you have done. And thank you so much for participating over these last 6 years. And those of you that have come on board, whether it's last week, this week, year ago, whenever, it is definitely a stealthy thing that is going on. And we'll be stealthfully back on again next Wednesday.
Yes, the stealthy gospel will ride again 1 week from tonight. Let us hear from you this week at freedomofgospelrevolution.com. Visit the site early and often, and you can watch the time count down to the next webcast. Mikey, have a great rest of your week. We love you.
Yeah, you too, Glenn. Love you. Love you guys.
All right. Well, I have sometime I'll explain to you guys the hellish couple of days that I had that I have now been saved from. I am very, very blessed, and I want to thank everybody out there for doing everything they're doing and for listening, and I'm going to pre-thank Carla for the tea and honey that I'm going to be enjoying. Honey, I am on my way home. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!